Yeah, that's who I was kind of, somebody was texting me about Connie as we were singing, so I wanted to make sure I got back with him. So, but we are in a kind of this is where I really was planning on being tonight, but we're going to be in Genesis tonight, and we are going to look, we've been kind of talking about sin lately, and I thought we were done, but this will probably be the last one on sin for a while. So we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to process some things about sin tonight. And sometimes when you're speaking to a home crowd, you're thinking, okay, what can we learn from that? Well, we can always be learning from that. Hi, Juliet. So if you have your Bibles, turn with Genesis chapter 3. And if I tell you the wrong scripture, Carla made it known to me that I did not give you the right scripture last week. Does somebody stand up and say, Jimmy, what? Where are we? Yeah, not her. But somebody say, where are we? Because my mind thinks fast. And I don't want you to be in the wrong area. So, but tonight I do want to talk to you a little bit about sin. It's something we struggle with. We will struggle with it until we get into heaven. But I hope you know that as you walk in this world as a believer, that you should be sinning less than you did a year ago. The problem is when the longer you've been a Christian, when you sin, the cost sometimes becomes even greater. When you do, it has sometimes larger ramifications. But we're looking at the first family, the first couple in the book of Genesis, and what we see here is all things have been made, and God made the man, the woman, all the beautiful things there, and now we have this day of, seems like it's just a normal day. And this day is going to get wrecked really bad. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we think we're ready to have a great day, or we're just doing a normal day, and at the end of the day, it's a wreck and it's a mess. Sometimes it's because of something we've done, but sometimes it's because of life and what someone else has done. Today, we're going to read about this story here of Adam and Eve, sin before God, and how they handle it. It says in the fall, this is the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. He says, now the serpent was more craftier than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? That's the first thing that we struggle with when it comes to temptation. We begin to question what we already know. We begin to question. Even somebody asks us a question, and this is Lucifer, this is Satan working through this animal, speaking through, and Eve hears it. And we don't really know how all that worked in the Garden of Eden, but we know there was communication here. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Question mark. She knows the answer, because she says, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. And then the response comes back. The conversation continues. It says in verse 4, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Let me tell you, the Bible says, you know, the Bible always shores up other scriptures. They always endorse, scripture endorses one another. The scripture also tells us that Satan is the father of lies. The devil is the father of lies. Here it is. We begin to see this lie being foretold, saying, you will not surely die. So, that's a lie. It says, the serpent said, and so it says, verse 5, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There's some more lies in there. But then we get into the part that we want to work on. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. Now Lucifer, Satan's going to step aside now, because he's already taunted, he's already put temptation out there, and all he's got to do is to step aside and let it all work itself out. And because she looked at it, she saw that it was good for food and pleasing to the eye. Our eyes cause us to sin more than about anything that we have. And here it is, hook, line, sinker, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some and she ate it. She ate it. And she took some and she gave some to her husband, who also was with her, and he ate it. Now, I wonder why he didn't say anything, but we'll get there. He didn't speak up or say anything. In verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What happens when we sin, what we end up doing is we try to cover it, and we can't cover it. They makeshift this thing. They sewed some fig leaves together. That was going to last about an hour. It's all going to rip apart, and that's about how long it lasts when you try to cover your sin. It doesn't last at all. It just rips apart because it's not on truth. It's on lies, and it's on sin, and sin will do what it's going to do. And so they realized that they were naked. Sin opens up this eye. Sin gets you to see things that you shouldn't see. It reveals things. And this just messed them up. And so they made this covering to cover themselves. To cover themselves. And then the man said to his wife, or I'm sorry, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Then the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I eat." So the Lord said to the serpent, and he goes on with his list. So I've got 10 things I want to share with you. I'm going to put it on PowerPoint. I was going to put it on PowerPoint, and I want to share with you some things about sin. Number one, our sin comes from within. Okay? Our sin comes from within. Okay? It just does. It's not something that is something that you don't know about. It comes from within. And it's always come from within. It always has. Scripture tells us that. And I want to read the scripture to you. It's in 1 James. Yeah, 1 James. He says in verse 14, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death." So what we see, it comes from within, in your own personal desires. Okay? Your own personal desires. What we end up doing sometimes is we end up trying to self-justify the sins that we commit. Now, there are more than 10 tonight, but I'm only going to go through 10 because I don't have time to go through a whole lot more. But our sin comes from within. It comes from within, our own desires. When you're looking at the person you shouldn't be looking at, it's coming from within. When you get ready to start a conversation you shouldn't start, it's coming from within. When you want to grab something and take something that's not yours, it's coming from within. I want that. I think I need that. I think that should belong to me. Matter of fact, I think that does belong to me. And so we self-justify it, and we do what we want to make it, and we walk away from it. Okay, number two. People tempt others to sin with them. Sin's a lot funner when we do it with others. Sin draws, it's a magnet. Sin draws other people. Okay? Parties, a lot of sin happens in parties, but sin draws others in. We see that with Adam and Eve. "Well, honey, why don't you take one too?" Right? So they sinned together. Okay? They sinned together. And so sin happens most of the time. I think sin happens most of the time, not just with yourself. I think sin happens more with others. Because some of us need to not be followers, but need to learn how to be a leader. Amen? We need to be leaders. We need to be able to say no when everybody else says, "Come on." When everybody says yes, you say, "I don't think so." And those should be signs that those are people that you don't need to be hanging with anymore. Those should be signs of saying these people are not safe people. But what we end up doing is we end up sinning with others. And when we sin with others, things begin to happen. Number three. But we want to cover it up. We want to cover up the sin. We always want to cover it up. We always want to cover it up. We will find anything to cover it up, whether by words or by deeds or just forgetting, pretending to forget. A lot of people want to forget things, not bring it up anymore. I've had conversations with people, and the conversation, we begin a conversation, says, I don't want to go there. Why don't we want to go there? Well, because it's going to reveal some things. It's going to, I don't want to go there. Why? Because the person's covering it up. I understand some things that we may not want to go there, but eventually we need to go there. God wants to go there. God wants to go there because that's exactly what he wants to talk to us about, that sin. But we want to cover it up. Okay? Number four, we want to cover it up. Sin breeds fear of being exposed. So I'm going to cover it up so that I don't, so it's not exposed. I'm afraid somebody's going to find, I'm afraid of it. Sin is a beast. Sin is not your friend. Sin is your enemy. Sin is like somebody that comes out of you and rages like a beast and just tears into everything until it totally destroys everything to destruction, to death. And it does not love you. It uses words like love, but it's really infatuation. It uses words like love, but it's really lust. It uses words that sound really nice and honorable, but it's really lies. Sin is not there to tell you what's good. Sin is there to get you to do what's wrong, what's sinful. And what is sinful? It's an act against God. Sin is things that we do that is against God. And what happens when we do those things? We do not want to be exposed, but I want to tell you that God sees everything and nothing is hidden from God. All things are right, like right out in the open. Right out in the open. Right out in the open. You notice that the Bible did say that when God comes in the cool of the day, he would walk with Adam. Did you notice that? We find out there's a day when he comes down, he's not there. You know what? Sin will take you from the godly things and move you to somewhere else. That's why people don't come to church like they used to. They don't want to be exposed. They don't want their sin. They don't want to deal with their sin. But that's exactly what God wants to deal with. Number five. This is a big one. When we sin, we will want to hide from authority. This is why the police are always looking for somebody. They're hiding from authority. We learned that when we were children. Oh, here comes dad, here comes mom. Boom, they're coming home. What are we doing? We're running and we're hiding because we're hiding from something that we what? That we did that we know was wrong. And we will lie about it, we will cover it up, and we will run from it because we do not want to, we do not want it to be exposed. And sin is right there. And sin wants you to harbor it, and then sometimes sin wants it just to be exposed. It does whatever it wants to, but it's always against God. So we see what we do is we end up wanting to hide from authority because we don't want to get caught. Because we don't want to pay the price. Sin, you listen, you will get caught because God sees all things. But God is a merciful God. And he's a God full of grace and awesome love. Then he gives us time to fix it and to come to him. But the Bible also says he disciplines those whom he loves. So when the time is up, he will. I'm not going to say any names, but there are many pastors who God give mercy and grace to. And they continue to go into their sin and then come back into the pulpit. And what would always happen? When it come out, it would just, it was exposed nationally. Some of you can think of a few pastors, TV evangelists, whatever, big major mainline preachers. Because they hit it, God said, gave them time to get it right with him, and they did it, and he exposed it out in the open nationally. And most of the time, when they don't get it right, the ministry is just over. But God is a grace. God is a God of grace and mercy. But we don't want to hide from authority. We should run to authority. But we run from authority. I know some people right now that are living in sin and they're running from the Lord. And they're running from it. Because I want to tell you, that there are some sins that society says, what's wrong with that? But we have to live by the laws of the land, but we also must live by God's word. And God's word trumps all things. But the Bible says we need to live by the law of the land, but here's what we find out. That some of the things that society says is wrong or not wrong is the opposite of God's word. And so people want to go out and live in the world because they don't want the authority of God. They don't want the church to find out. Number six. Isn't that true? When you sin, you don't want to get caught. You just have that fear of getting caught. And you can't live with it because it's so heavy, right? God allows it to be heavy on you. Number six, sin brings on finger pointing and lies. You did it. I didn't do anything. That's exactly what we see here. We see Adam pointing a finger at Eve and Eve pointing a finger at the serpent, and they're all going to get in trouble because they're all going to get into trouble. They all played a part. Some people say, well, I didn't do as much. I didn't start it. I didn't bring the stuff. I wasn't driving. I didn't say that. That's not mine. That's not mine. That's somebody else's. I don't know how that got here. When we're in sin, we'll say the stupidest things to get out of trouble. And the more you talk, the more stupid we look. And the more ignorant we look. Because sin is foolish. And we'll talk foolishly. And we think people are going to believe those lies. People don't believe those lies. And then when you're messing with the Holy Spirit will give insight to individuals, and that whole stuff will come completely out. Sin brings on pointing fingers, but we never point them at ourselves. When we start pointing them at ourselves, then we start to deal with it. But we don't want to deal with it because we want to point fingers because we're hiding behind the bushes because God's coming. We want to hide behind, we want to cover ourselves with fig leaves, and it's not going to work. And we want to hide from God because here he comes. I'm telling you, when you have a meeting with God, you need to be there. There's an appointed time every day that they would do this. Every week we have worship. And people don't want to because they live in sin. I know there are people that do not like always what I say up here. But I'm not here to make them happy. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to share God's word. The joyful and good things, but also the things that tells us what not to do and the sinful things. We have to preach all of it. So let's stop pointing fingers at people and start pointing them at ourselves. Because every time you point a finger, there's a lie behind it in most cases. Truth begins when you look in the mirror and you start getting real with God. When you start looking at everybody else, we're still living in lies. Number seven. What else about sin? Sin always hurts other people. Sin hurts others. It always hurts others. It always hurts others. It always hurts others more than you think it does. Sin is like when a father sins in the family, it's like an atomic bomb just landing in the middle of the house, in the middle of the living room. Boom. And then people walk around acting like nothing's wrong in the house. Has any of your sins hurt people? I know mine has. And I hate that. I hate that those things have happened. Number eight. The cost of sin is always higher than you think. The cost of sin is always higher than you think. It always costs us more. It always does. It always does. Some people's sin causes a divorce. So you take a couple that's been married, somebody commits adultery, they can't handle it, they can't work through it, they thought they could work through it, they can't work through it, they decide to divorce, they got three kids sitting in there in the house, and then they're messed up, And they're listening to mom and dad now fighting, and they're not figuring out who's doing right, who's wrong, who's... They're hearing stories what mom did. They're hearing stories what dad did. And they're all getting confused, and everybody's starting... Then they're starting to... Somebody in the neighborhoods is... They're drawn to somebody else because it's not as loud and as the swearing. And this guy's here is doing his thing with them. And it just becomes a big mess. It becomes a big, fat mess. But again, I tell you, thank God for His mercy and grace. Because God can restore lives. I think God is always trying to restore lives. Number 9. Sin stops, steals His sin. So sin stops God's blessings in your life. And also steals blessings from your life. So sin sucks things out of your life. It steals what you have and stops from you getting anything else good. Because when sin comes in your house, inside of you, it comes in and says, there's room for nothing else. And that's how big sin is. There's room for nothing else. Because when you sin, it consumes you. And the only other feeling you get in what you did is the Holy Spirit convicts you from it. And you can have... plan a vacation, you can do all those things, get away, and you can go out and have a great time and just sit there and act like it never happened. But I'm telling you, you know what it's like when you start feeling it. That feeling of conviction never goes away. It never does. It never does, because it's sin steals and it stops you from being blessed. Boy, sin is a life crasher, is what it is. Number 10. Sin's goal is to bring destruction and death. That's what it does. It's birth, it comes out of birth, and then brings destruction and death. Okay? And honestly, destruction is to destroy your life. But sin does bring forth death. Not just spiritual death, but it also can bring forth physical death. It can bring forth physical death. I'm going to read something from Romans, because all these things I just said, all this stuff happened in Genesis with Adam and Eve, and we see the sins that the consequences that happened to Adam and Eve. But it didn't just hurt Adam and Eve; it affected us as well, because their sins affected us. And so what we see in Romans chapter 5, what we see here in verse 12, he says, therefore, as sin entered the world through one man, that one man was Adam. God said, sin entered through Adam. It's funny, he didn't say Eve, Adam and Eve, but he said Adam. And death through sin. So, because part of that curse was, from the dust of the ground you came, so dust you shall return. Okay? So, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sin. So because of what happened in the Garden of Eden, because of what they did, we are now also born into sin. We are also know that death comes to all men, because we've all sinned. Okay? For before the law was given, sin was in the world. Okay, before Deuteronomy came, I don't want to lose you, but before the law came, sin was in the world. Okay? Nevertheless, let me back up. Verse 13, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Now, we can spend some time on that, but did not know. They knew what they should not have done, because God told them not to, what you could and what you cannot do. But now we find out through life here that they did not know, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. But nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. People still died even though there was not a written law. Because God spoke it, if you eat from this tree, you will surely die. Okay? And that was the curse, part of the curse on men. So nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam until the time of Moses. Now Moses came, and all what we find out is we found the law came during Moses' time. And then it says, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was the pattern of one to come, But the gift of God, I'm sorry, but the gift is not like the trespass. Now, we're going to get into some things. I don't want to get into it because I think I'm going to lose some of you. But I do want to go over to verse 18. So consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. If you sin one, you're a sinner. Okay? We all trespass once. We're all really born into sin, okay? So also the result, so one act of condemnation was for all men. Okay? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. So what happened in the garden? That one sin affected all men. So also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Do we get that? I hope we get that. So one act of sin affected all of us. But also there's one act of righteousness that affected all of us. And verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of one man, that would be Adam, the many were made sinners. We were all sinners because we come from Adam. So also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. That'd be Jesus Christ, okay? So the law was added so that trespass might increase. Now, here's the difficult part. The law was added so that our sin might become greater. What? So that we would know that we sin, okay? Thou shalt not kill. Oh, no, now it's written. Now I know I can't do that. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery, okay? Thou shalt keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. All those things. And all the other things. So he says, the law was added so that trespass might increase, but where sin has increased, grace increased all the more. So if sin gets this high, grace is higher, because if it wasn't so, then we would not be forgiven. Do we understand that? Some of you asked me to get a little deeper in our services, and so I am tonight, okay? So sin had to be increased, but grace increased all the more. Okay? Let me just say it this way. Nobody's going to outlove God. Nobody's going to outgive God. Nobody's going to outforgive God. Nobody's going to have more mercy than God. Nobody's going to have more righteousness than God. Nobody's going to have more grace than God. Nobody's going to have anything good more than God. Because he's the creator of all of it and the giver of all of it. So sin may go high, but grace goes higher. Amen? And I need that kind of grace in my life. I don't know about you, but I need that kind of grace in my life. So verse 21, so that just as sin reigned in death, sin reigns in death, okay? Sin reigns in death. It is king in death. So also grace must reign through righteousness. So you got sin and death here. You got grace and righteousness here. As a matter of fact, sin and death comes natural. It comes natural, okay? Grace and righteousness does not. Grace is a gift. It is a gift to you from God himself because he loves you. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace reigns through righteousness. Why? God's word always tells us why. To bring eternal life. Because why? Through death, sin and death, we were condemned. Because of the sin that we commit. But through grace and righteousness, we now have eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I'm asking you a question tonight. How important is Jesus Christ to you in your life? How important is Jesus to you today? Well, I will answer it for you. He should be more important to you today that you know this than you did when you first became a Christian. Because when you first became a believer, you didn't understand a lot, but you understood that you were a sinner. As you grow in and you become a disciple, you'll understand the stuff about sin and death. Wow, I am condemned, but through grace and righteousness, I have eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ. Over here, it was the original sin of Adam, and I'm a sinner too. But over here, it's all grace by God and eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. What I'm trying to say tonight is we all sin. And even though some of us have been a Christian for a while, we still have a piece in us that still wants to hide from God. We want to hide from, listen, we want to, think about this. Remember the Christians that you used to hang out, that used to hang out with you, that don't hang out anymore? Why are they not hanging out anymore? Because you walk with righteousness. You walk with Christ like you're living Christ like living. Doesn't make you perfect, but you are a sinner. But you're saved by grace. You get what I'm saying? Sin cannot work. It doesn't work. They don't get along together. Sin wants to pull you away, so you do those things. That's why some of the people that used to be a part of our church are not here. Not because there's a few that are in different churches, but many of them are many of them are out living in sin. They're living in sin, which is iniquity. They're living in iniquity. You cannot get out of the cesspool of iniquity without Jesus Christ. Now, the world may say iniquity, oh, that lifestyle is fine and great, and that's all fun, it's okay. We accept all that. But God's word is still God's word. And we can't live in iniquity, okay, and be good with God. This is why Adam and Eve ran. They ran and they hid. They hid. Do you understand? They hid from God. They hid from God. They hid because they knew they sinned. And that's what you do. That's what I do. When we know we sin, we hid. We hide. But as we grow in Christ, what we find out is, say, you know what? I need to repent from that. I need to ask Christ to forgive me of that. I really messed up. And I need to repent from that, which means I need to ask Christ to forgive me from that. We need to talk about it. Not just the drive up window, Lord, forgive me my sins, but Lord, I got to really tell you something I did. And I don't feel good about it, but I got to tell you. God already knows about it, but we're going to have that conversation. And then it doesn't stop there. The part of it says, I need to repent, which means I need to receive forgiveness, and I need to turn away from it, and I need to walk away from that. I don't need to be hanging out with that same stuff. I'm going to fall into it again. But here's the piece that God is amazing. God knew that Adam and Eve was down in the dump. I mean, they're going to be booted from the garden, right? They're going to be. But here's what happens. God ends up laying this punishment down because there's consequences for the sins. Could you imagine Adam hearing this? Could you imagine? Adam, the ground is going to be cursed because of you. You. You messed it up. And you're going to have to work from it and you're going to eat from it. It's going to produce things you never thought of. It's called weeds. It's called poison ivy. It's called thistles. And you're going to go out there and you're going to work in that stuff. Think about it. You don't think about it, but think about it. There's no off. There's no raid. There's no bug killer. There's no vegetation weed killer. It's called get a stick and a rock and do that and start. And you got to work it every day. That's hard stuff. And by the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat that food. It ain't going to just pop off in beautiful trees anymore. You got to go eat it. And by the way, I brought you from the ground. Now you're going to return. Now you'd walk away like this. I mean, you got your hind end whooped up. You got beat up. You're in the Hilton. Now you're going to the slum. And if you go back in your Bibles, there's dinosaurs running around, all kinds of things around. Sin wrecks your world. And it wrecked the world. We're not even getting into the things that happened with Eve, but it wrecked the world. It wrecked the world. And not just theirs, but the whole world and the future to come. But I want to check this out before we close out. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. Now, I want to tell you, God loves us. God knew when he walked in the garden what happened. And the Bible says, God says, who told you you were naked? It's all about the nakedness. Hiding behind a bush, big fig leaves. There's God over there, covering myself. She's over there doing her thing. God knew that. And God does one of the most amazing things in the book of Genesis in his verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. People do not understand what that scripture really represents. Basically, animals for the first time had to die. And God made outer clothing garments. And he clothed them with it to hide their nakedness. It was a foretell of what Jesus would do for us. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them. That was an act of grace, mercy, and love. He could have let them just go on out there, but they'll end up getting kind of pushed out, but they're not going to be pushed out without being covered. Doesn't God sometimes help you through when you've sinned? There's consequences, but he kind of does a little thing off to the side to help you through it. Now, you don't understand it. If you got a fig leaf, you walk about 10 steps, it's going to rip. God made something that was going to last for a while. And he taught them, this is how you're going to have to cover yourself, which means now you're going to have to kill the animals. And then it says in verse 23, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden, to work the ground from which he had been taken. And after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden a cherubim with a flaming sword, going back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. But I want to tell you, one day we'll be able to eat from that tree. God didn't let the sin have total control. He didn't let the sin have the last word. It's the last word if we don't choose God's way. It's the last word if we don't choose reconciliation through Jesus Christ with God. It is the last way for those who don't know Christ. But those who come to Christ and have their sins forgiven, eternal life is theirs. God covers us with the blood of Jesus Christ, who washes us as white as snow. You see, there are some things that we do are wrong, and they're called sin. But there are some things that God does that are just so amazing, it just blows us away. Even in our sin, sin conceives, we do it, temptation, we do the sin, the punishment, the consequences come, and then it's just crazy that we serve a God that says, and I love you so much, I'm going to give you a blessing when you go out the door. That doesn't make any sense, but that's the God we serve. Think about the life you lived as a sinner. Do you deserve to live the life you're living now? No, you do not, because you are a filthy sinner just like I was. Smile, God loves you. If you're right with God, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. So tonight as we close, I want to ask you a question. Put yourself in the story of Adam and Eve. Are you walking with God in the cool of the day, praying on a regular basis, and man, you're just at peace, and there's a joy with you and God right now? Or are you in time of hiding, covering yourself and hiding from God? Listen, you can hide from God even when you're serving. You can hide from God even when you're teaching and even when you're preaching. You can hide from God. But I will tell you, you better get it right with him or it will be exposed. And I don't like when my junk gets exposed. How about you? I'd rather deal with it one-on-one with him. So tonight, nobody has to know your junk, your sin. But God already does. And he's willing to work with you if you're willing to work with him.